How many of you know that Sunday is Easter, but every day is, you know, it's resurrection. Some people really, really look forward to the special services, and that's good. But it's anticlimactic to me if we have to do something, you know, to make up for it or make it a big service. Every service is just a revival. Hallelujah. So we don't, we'll stop and talk about those things as He leads us. Why don't you stretch your faith this way? Father, we just love You. Father, we offer ourselves up. We believe You. We believe You. Hallelujah. We believe You. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I think that I could take the time to make a few announcements. Some of this will be back on the bulletin board. But how many of you ever heard of Gary Carpenter?
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't scare him too bad last year. What's that? Vetted. The politicians are vetted, and I've vetted this guy, and he's going to be here May 13th through the 17th. So that's right around the corner. So, hallelujah. Come, bring somebody that's hungry. And then this other guy that's just starting up, Dave Roberson. And he's coming in November, the 11th through the 16th. That's the dates that I know right now. So I know it shouldn't change from there. It'll be in the middle of November. So, hallelujah. Now, listen up for just a moment. April 15th, which is not this coming Sunday, but the following Sunday, we're going to have a baptismal service. Okay? And it's just a short walk. It's right across the field. If you've never been baptized, or if you've been baptized before in the past, we're going to do a service that Sunday morning. I'll teach on it. I'll teach on it extensively. We're going to answer as many questions as we possibly can, try to take any the controversy out of it, make it a very pleasant time. If you've been baptized before, a young lady come up to me Sunday because I just mentioned it. I didn't know that I was, especially. I'd kind of held back from it, and then the Lord opened it up this week. Let's just worship a little bit more. We've already prayed, but man, sense His glory. Father, I love You. We are so thankful just for the anticipation of what we do not know. Lord, we thank You for what is coming, for what already is. We're so thankful. But God, we're so thankful for the days of raging outpouring. Let it build in us. Let us have this hope. Father, I thank You that everything that we teach today, everything that we're saying among us, well, Father, we just love You. We pray that You'll build line on line in us. Teach us against the end. Thank You for it, Father. Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. We've done and did chapter 6 last week, pretty much finished up. We got through half of that chapter, and hopefully we'll finish up chapter 6 of Ephesians tonight. So if you'll turn there with me. It's been kind of a new experience to go chapter after chapter. We've had a good time, and tonight we're going to believe God that we finish up chapter 6. Hallelujah. Well, I'm excited about revival. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. And I'm excited about everything that he's doing around here. Last Friday night, we had a blowout crowd. It was good. That's a spiritual warfare night. And we don't think of it sometimes as a spiritual warfare, but that it really is. And we're speaking confessions over our city. I appreciate all of you that do that at other times as well. And it gives us an opportunity to spend some time in worship prior to that. And then we speak confessions. We're speaking confessions over our city and over this region. So come out and be a part of that as often as you can. Chapter 6. I don't know exactly where we were at when we left off last week, but someplace right here in the middle. Hallelujah. Let's start in verse 10. I think that's where we were at, kind of. Finally. So this is kind of where he's at in everything. And Paul comes down to the end of everything that he has written, obviously, in chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And he's writing a conclusion. And all of this is just one, you know, there's a number of different kinds of things discussed here. But as is everything in the Word of God, it all gels. It all comes together. And Paul feels like he is presented to the church at Ephesus. At one point in chapter 4, he says, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. He's not speaking just, you know, from a spiritual disposition. He's writing this. This is one of the Pauline epistles that they call a prison epistle. He writes it from a jail cell. They speculate, they say, from Rome. And he's encouraging other people from a jail cell. Isn't that great? That's a real walk of the Spirit. And Paul had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that though his world was crumbling around him at times in the natural, he could come to a place in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that he was able, or 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he's able to say a number of different things and say that the grace of God is sufficient. Now, do I have that right? I think that's 1 Corinthians, isn't it? But the grace of God is sufficient. No matter what's going on, His grace is sufficient. And he understood that there was a place where the dependency could get off of himself, and it wasn't hard for him to instruct the church by coming to a place and saying, finally. And when he says finally, to repeat some of what we said last week, he's about to go into what people commonly talk about as the armament or what you put on for spiritual warfare. But we've come to understand this through extensive teaching and meditation and understanding of the Word of God and you doing yourself, that everything that he's about to say was characteristic of chapters 1 through 5. In other words, if you do those things, if you obey the instruction, and that becomes a part of you being obedient to the Word, then you're going to learn how to put on the girdle of truth. You're going to learn how to each man speak truth to his neighbor in love. I haven't been called to be a hitman for Christ. But when you come to me, or when I'm in fellowship with you, and I have the opportunity to help you, and I have that open door, and you give me... See, I learned, am learning, I should say, instead of learned. Am learning that you can't come up any higher in a person's life than what they give you the right to. You can't come up any higher in a person's life than what they give you the opportunity to do. Hallelujah. So, praise God. You can't come up any higher. In other words, that has to be something they give to you. And so if a person wants advice and they begin to humble themselves and say, would you? Then you are able. You're able to speak into their life. And that's speaking the truth in love. You're able to speak that truth in love. Well, when he comes down to the end here, he says, finally, after all this instruction, here's what you've got to understand. You've got to understand that all of everything that I said in all these previous verses or previous chapters brings you to a place where you're able to do this not by a moment in time, like, okay, today I'm going to put all this on. This is your life. This is your life going forward. Hallelujah. So, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, and he names these classifications, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, we went last week and we looked at different classifications of these angels in different places. One is over in Colossians, which is a similar book. And it talks about thrones and dominions and these kinds of spirits. But the beautiful thing that we concluded out of that was this. This is what we've got to understand. All things in Colossians, it says all things were created by Him and for Him, whether they be, and it says, thrones or dominions. So it doesn't matter what it is that's trying to aggravate you. It was created by Him. Amen. Now there's a third of them that fail, but there's far more that stand on His side. But here's the deal. Whether they did or didn't, He'd stand sovereignly, all-powerful. But He's given you these ministering spirits. But these ones that have rebelled and went aside, praise God. Here's our victory. We know this. We know that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But we know that the very thing that's coming, it was created by Him. Now, it's rogue now. It's rogue now. He didn't create evil. But it was created by Him and for Him. Hallelujah. I like that. He says now, wherefore, taking the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, stand. Okay? Everybody say, having done all. Having done all, to stand, stand. Well, actually, the next verse is stand, therefore. But it's all one thought. But the beautiful part of this is having done all. Having done all to stand. In other words, He's going to present all this stuff to you, like girdle of truth, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with a preparation, gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation, on and on and on. But all of that was prefaced by, and having done all to stand. In other words, there was a prefacing, there was something before you were ever even able to enter into that. And all of that, again, is everything that He said previous to that. That's why He can say, finally. Okay, finally, these character teachings of how the body of Christ is supposed to work, and even in one chapter He's talking about how that we're supposed to edify each other, and how that the fivefold is supposed to teach you. But in essence, that edification gift really is the one who prays the mysteries through us so that we're all not only personally being edified, but we're all edifying each other. Now, all of that is Him getting to finally, but when He says to be able to stand, when you're fighting spiritual warfare, and this last chapter is Him saying, okay, you're ready. You're ready to fight.
spiritual warfare. Why? Because you have all this quality of character in instruction inside of you, and if you follow it, then all of these things that I'm about to tell you to put on, it's really already at work in your life. It's already at work. But the two stand, here's what he wants you to understand, two stand, is that there's a place that all I can say is we can go to another scripture on it to show you two other places. One, I'll just quote. Peter says in chapter 5 that when the enemy comes in, that, and now I'm paraphrasing, he says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may be able to exalt you out of your tribulation. Now, I want you to just stay right there in Ephesians, because we're going to finish up here by the grace of God tonight. But one really powerful chapter that exemplifies what we're saying right now is Romans chapter 8. Let's look at it. The latter part of it. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Let's say, for instance, that you're in a spiritual warfare. Okay? Now, we're going to read what we've read before on the final part of this. And all these characteristics, like put on the girdle of truth. I mean, just to put it real plain to you again, this is how the girdle of truth works. You got the devil messing around with your home, okay? I want to make this as plain. You understand this, but it's wonderful to reiterate it. Okay, he's trying to bully your home. You see that there's things amiss. You see that it's messed up. If, say for instance, you've got a problem with lying or living a lie, if there's a part of your life that's in a lie, you're crippled in making him leave. You're working on, if you're an 8-cylinder, you're only hitting about, you know, only 6 of your pistons are hitting or firing. Because to be able to eradicate him, you have to have done all to stand. Having done all to stand is to get yourself in a position where that when you do apply the authority, see, really, all of you know this. The devil's really not a problem. He's really not a problem. The blood of Jesus destroyed all of his authority over you at one time. It really did. It's what he has invested in us that we allow him sometimes to hang around that kind of keeps us off kilter from being able to really finalize the deal. We say go out of our finances. We say this. Now there can be a enduring warfare against truth in your life. But when you say go and you see that nothing ever changes, it never changes, and you begin to question God, what if the Holy Spirit comes to you and begins to say, this needs to change inside of you. Well, guess what is happening? What he's doing is he's preparing you to stand. And here's the place where a lot of people miss it when they go into spiritual warfare. When they go into spiritual warfare, they're ready to run the devil out of town. They're ready to take care of business. They realize it's not hard sometimes to see that the devil's camped at your door. But the first place of understanding how to get rid of him is in this very chapter that I want to read these verses to you. In chapter 8, and this is the same thing that Peter was talking about in 1 Peter chapter 5, which we didn't turn there. But he says here, let's look at verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yes, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now here's where the enemy comes in. He's launching his battle. Shall tribulation? No. All the answers to these are an absolute no. Tribulation or distress? No. Persecution, famine, nakedness? That's hard times. Peril, sword? Can this separate us from the love of God? No. But he's not talking about that God just has an affectionate love for you. He's talking about the love that can reach down and actually take you out of and deliver you out of the situation. So you if you read this in a passive way, you say, oh, wonderful, I know he loves me, but this kind of love can, you can be in a jail cell and say, I am free. I am so free that I can sing. And if I can sing, then I'm not going to stay here unless these are my last days on earth and this is the way he wants me to go. But he's usually got far more for us to do than just stay in a jail cell. So if God, you love me, then this love is going to, it's going to pull me out of this test or trial. I've got to see that love as a power. It's a powerful force. Who shall step as it? Now here's the key to spiritual warfare. Here's the major to me, the major preface. Here's having done all to stand. He says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I'll read the rest of it and then go back. For I am persuaded, this is where we're headed. This is the epitome of spiritual warfare. This makes all of anything else that you put on work. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, or principalities. Now he's naming all these, so you know this is spiritual warfare. These are all fallen angels. These are certain deities of but they're not God deity. They are created angels that have fallen. He says, persuaded that angels, principalities, powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height. Now this describes a citadel in the original. This is something impenetrable. It looks like the next word is bathos, B-A-T-H-O-S, which it's a chasm that goes infinitely down. It's like there's no way to get across this. And you know by what he's talking about, this is all sandwiched in, working against these angels and these things that come with a force behind them to destroy you. Whether it's a citadel that looks so high that says, there is no way. See, there's a lot of people that get discouraged about going forward because something happened to them as a child or something happened to them in a relationship. And that thing that brought it, I mean, it might have been their flesh that helped it, but the spirit behind it creates an imagination in them that I can't ever get past this. I can't get past this. It's too big. It's too high. And Paul is describing, and he says, there's nothing too high created by any of these monsters. They're a liar. There's nothing too low that's ever been created that can possibly separate us from the love of God. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Not height nor death shall be able to separate us. He says not any other creature. So you name anything, you go to the hierarchy himself. Satan himself, coming with all his glory, cannot separate. But here's the beginning. The beginning is this. Whether you go to 1 Peter 5, or whether you're looking at Romans 8, or whether you're looking at Ephesians, having done all to stand is this. The first place of a warrior, the first place of spiritual warfare is this. The posture of submission. When he says here in Romans 8 that we are counted, he said all these things, what shall separate us? Well, he goes on to say there really is nothing that can. But here's the posture of the believer. When temptation, fear, anxiety, name what you will, comes at you, and you know that it's a spirit, and we fight these all the time. The winning factor is the posture of yieldedness, humility. He said, this as it is written, and he puts that right there at the beginning of spiritual warfare. We are counted as sheep before the slaughter. What that is telling us is this. The way out, the way up, is the way down first. When you submit yourself and say, Father, I humble myself, 1 Peter 5, under the mighty hand of God, I know that to win against whatever it is that's coming against me right now, my first posture, the warrior, whatever warrior that you see, when you see this warrior that's able to stand in Ephesians and put on this whole armament, he first has to do something to stand. Well, that something to stand is the way you beat the enemy, is that when you first encounter him, don't take it upon yourself to even try to implement what you know according to yourself. You may have all of everything inside of you to win, but you must continually put your eyes on him and say, this is my posture. This is the posture of the Roman soldier. He must bend his knee no matter how armored he is. Whatever you could put in your mind as a warrior, a Roman soldier, a Zulu warrior, a Apache warrior, let's say a modern day, okay, a Navy SEAL is standing here. He's about to go into battle. He's got his armored vest on. He's trained in physical warfare. But you as a spiritual being, your first inclination is to count yourself as a sheep before the slaughter. In other words, the way to win is not to become focused on what it is that's coming, but the way to win is to begin to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, help me to hear you. I humble myself in this. If there's anything inside of me that needs an adjustment, if there's anything inside of me that needs to be tweaked or turned, that there's a stubbornness inside of me that won't let the shield work like it's supposed to be, or there's my trying to get my sword out to destroy this thing, and yet I'm not hearing you, like, because see, again, no matter how ferocious he feels at times, he's a defeated foe. So when the word is spoken and the word is implemented, it's supposed to be implemented and spoken and carried out in simplicity. It's not you beating the devil with bullets of sweat and fear and anxiety and blood sweating. The master sweated great drops of blood so that you're running him out of your home is not gritting your teeth and I'm telling you, you've got... Listen. Even if you spend a watch night praying, you've got to understand that you've won before you go into it. And the first place is counting yourself as a sheep before the shearer. In other words, what is the picture painted there is this, yieldedness. I've got to yield. Before I become a warrior and start commanding and start living. And you know what? Sometimes the Holy Spirit will just tell you, don't say anything. Don't say anything to the devil. Don't say anything to any. Just be quiet and worship me. Just worship me. Because when you see me in the light of who I am, you'll see yourself of who you are. And you'll see that what looks so ferocious is not nearly as big as it's painting the picture to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the first... The warrior, before he whips out his sword, before he says, let's jump into this thing, let's kill the devil, the good soldier does this. God, I don't know how to handle this. I've beat 1,000 of these before. But I do not take it upon myself to believe that I understand anything without the continual submission to the Holy Ghost. You are my wisdom. You are my soundness. You're my understanding. Under that, any kind of, if there is anything inside of you that's fighting with the flesh, if you're fighting with the flesh, you know, here's a good way to understand if you're fighting in the spirit of the flesh. If you say, this warfare is hard. It is tenacious. But if it gets real hard for you and it's draining your strength, you might be fighting 80% of it in the spirit, but if something is like an energy leak inside of you, you're just like, I'm getting fatigued in this fight. Guess what? There's part of you that needs to go back to the cross and say, Lord, and I'm not even talking about necessarily sin here. I'm not talking about something where you have to make an adjustment in sin. I'm talking about conscience where you're confessing. It may be that there's something inside of you that you think that you're walking in, digesting the fullness of His love, and you've not seen the fullness of His love yet, and the Holy Spirit wants to bear that out. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. That's simple. Simply that consciousness. That breastplate of righteousness is that God consciousness of following the inward witness. That's how you'll defeat Him. Listen, all of you that know Him, trust. I think I need to say this. If you know Him and you're fellowshipping with Him, trust that report on the inside. Begin to trust that report. And you know what I found out? There's a verse that said, there's kind of a catch-all spirit, a catch-all verse. I like that. It says, and if you be any otherwise like-minded or any other minded, even that God will reveal to you. It's like, okay, I'm going down this way and I believe that what I'm doing is right. But guess what? Even if I'm a little bit off, if I keep going towards Him, He's going to change that too. That's a great catch-all. That's a great, oh man, that's an insurance policy on an insurance policy. It's like, I believe that I'm doing the right thing, but even if I'm not, you'll somehow find out a way to get it over to me in a loving way. Hey, psst, change that, go that way a little bit. Praise God. I love that. I love that. He said, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. See, all this is discussed in the previous chapters. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. That is the Logos. That shield of faith is, at times you'll know, look, I need to say something here. I need to say something to the devil. I need to quote the word in example, just like Jesus. You know, this thing has come and I need to speak the word over my home. I need to speak the word of God. Wherefore, he says, that shield of faith, that word will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, your mind being girded up, the loins of your mind, and the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit there, we've taught on this. It's the rhema, which is the present tense. Like, that may not be even a quoted verse, but it's like Jesus, now this is a verse, because we've got the recording of it, but it wasn't a verse then. He didn't quote out of the Old Testament. He just said, peace, be still. Sometimes you mamas, sometimes you daddies, you realize there's a chaos in the home or there's a chaos in front of you. And sometimes you just get one quick word and it's like peace. And peace will come about by the rhema word of God spoken in faith. And that all comes from that place of knowing Him. It all comes from that place of yielding to Him. And I do want to create like never before how important your comforter is in helping you go forward. He loves to take up your weaknesses. He's working with a whole bunch of people, myself included, that have not yet arrived. And wherever you're at on this journey, if you humble yourself and say, hey, I've got all... Do you know from the moment that you humble yourself, you have just taken the first step to exalting yourself out of anything? Out of anything that's not according to the Word of God. He says, praying always with all prayer. How many have ever heard a message around here about prayer? Supplication in the Spirit. And watching therefore or there unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known all to you, all things, on whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren. Rhema word, peace. Love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Hallelujah. I think the one thing that I hone in on this chapter more than anything else in these days is before I'm ready to be a heavyweight, I realize I must. The strongest place of spiritual warfare is first intimacy. It's first intimacy with. See, Jesus never got trumped. He never got stumped. Everything that the Pharisees were wanting to do against him. The reason why here we've got the Logos in flesh, but he's always dependent. See, I want to learn that. And that for me is a life journey, is learning that continual dependency, because I'm going to face the enemy in the future many times. You will too. We don't learn this overnight, but the more that we can go inward in a crowd, alone, wherever, and go to that posture, not physically, spiritually, go to that posture of a lamb before the shears. God, I yield myself. I yield my members. Now, what's the instruction? What's the mind? What is... And see, this all goes back to what we all understand in another sense of what the Holy Spirit does for you. And this is a perfect synchronization. Is as He prays the mysteries and He begins to kill those appetites inside of us, then that makes it more... easier, more applicable for Him to just submit us, to be able to put us on the altar and say, okay, you see, perfect love casts out all fear. It really does. And if you know this about your Father, when you begin to yield yourself like this, the devil can't touch you. And you can have a world of faults. But if you're like this and say, I don't know how long it's going to take me to get to where, you know, where you want me to be, but the one thing I'm doing is I'm yielding. Teach me. Teach me. Well, you have got a huge shield around you. And you've got a force field that'll guide you throughout your days. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you love the Lord? Father, we worship you. We give you all the glory. We praise you. And we love you, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.